A reading from the book of Numbers. The Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses. Taking some of the spirit that was on Moses, the Lord bestowed it on the 70 elders. And as the spirit came to rest on them, they prophesied. Now two men, one named Eldad and the other Medad, were not in the gathering, but had been left in the camp. They too had been on the list, but they had not gone out to the tent. Yet the Spirit came to rest on them also, and they prophesied in the camp. So when a young man quickly told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp," Joshua, son of Nun, who from his youth had been Moses' aide, said, "Moses, my Lord, stop them." But Moses answered him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets? Would that the Lord might bestow his spirit on them all?" The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. James. "Come now, you rich, weep and wail over your impending miseries. Your wealth has rotted away. Your clothes have become moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and that corrosion will be a testimony against you. It will devour your flesh like a fire. You have stored up treasure for the last days. Behold, the wages you withheld from the workers who harvested your fields are crying aloud, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on earth in luxury and pleasure. You have fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. You have condemned. You have murdered the righteous one. He offers no resistance." The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him, because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." The Gospel of the Lord. In that first reading from the book of Numbers, we hear the story of God giving a portion of Moses' spirit to 70 elders. 70 members from the 12 tribes of Israel that would help Moses in his ministry of overseeing and judging and directing the whole people of Israel, the chosen people of God. And I think to fully understand the gravity and the importance of this moment, we need to kind of back up to the previous chapter in the book of Numbers. And there we find the people of Israel doing what they do best, right? Complaining and moaning and groaning in the wilderness, in the desert. They're hungry and they're thirsty out there. And what's more, they are angry at God for bringing them out into this wilderness to die. And so at this point, Moses turns to the Lord, this moment of crisis, this moment of desperation, and he says to God, "Lord, I am not able to carry this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. Kill me at once," he says, "if I find favor in your sight." It's this prayer of desperation that leads God to then instruct Moses to do what we hear about in our first reading today. "Gather for me 70 men of the elders, bring them to the tent of the meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. I will come down, and I will take some of the spirit which is upon you and put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone." In other words, God is telling Moses, you don't have to carry this burden all by yourself. I will make sure to provide you with helpers in this very heavy ministry. I'll bless them with the same spirit that I blessed you with, Moses. So don't be afraid. I'm with you. You are not alone. And I think that this reading is actually fitting for us to hear this weekend, because I didn't know this. I just learned this recently myself. But this Sunday is what we call Priesthood Sunday. Priesthood Sunday. A day on which we reflect on the ordained ministerial priesthood here in the United States. And on that front, I mean, it's really no secret for anybody sitting in these pews tonight that we simply do not have enough priests to go around. In a way, I think that we are at a similar moment of desperation that Moses was at in our first reading. "Lord, I feel alone. This is just too heavy for me." That is what a lot of priests are feeling right now. They have multiple parishes. They have thousands and thousands of souls under their care. It's just too much for one person. As much as your priests love their vocations, as much as your priests want to serve the Lord and pour out their entire lives for you, the people of God, it's still just kind of tough to carry that much responsibility. And it's never been easy, but on kind of a basic level, there are just too few of us left to manage, to quote Treebeard from The Lord of the Rings. There are just too few of us left to manage. And I look at how many of our pastors around the diocese are nearing the age of retirement. I see how many of our retired priests are dying and going home to the Lord. And most tragically, I see how many of my brother priests, my young brother priests, who have sadly chosen to leave public ministry in recent years. Many of my brothers who I went to seminary with, I'm afraid to ask what happened with them, because it seems like a lot of them are like, oh, yeah, they're no longer a priest. I hear the statistics that say that there are roughly 20,000 practicing Catholics for every one seminarian currently in preparation for the priesthood. I read news stories that say a majority of Catholics today kind of just disregard church teachings on things like traditional marriage and openness to life and a whole host of other non-negotiable teachings of our faith. I hear that 50% of Catholics leave the church entirely before the age of 23, and that among the ones that do still identify as Catholic after that, only 7% would say, yeah, my faith is like the most important thing in my life. I see so many elements of our culture falling apart. I see incoherent and offensive ideologies overtaking our schools. I see pornography warping the minds of men and women alike. I see church leadership failing on multiple fronts to just communicate the beauty and the uniqueness and the reasonableness of our faith. I see people walking away from Jesus in the most holy Eucharist. Jesus said in our gospel today, whoever is not against us is for us. But more often than not, if I'm being totally honest with you guys, I hear it from the pews as well, I think that a lot of Catholics today feel as if everybody and everything is against us, that it's really hard to find someone who is not against us and therefore for us. The game kind of feels rigged. The tables are all kind of tilted in one direction. The whole world has gone mad. Even those who claim to be for us are very often actually against us. When a public servant can look into the camera and boldly say to our entire country, I'm a Catholic, and then proceed to say that children in the womb have absolutely no rights whatsoever, and that a mother ought to be able to end the life of her own child up to the very moment of their birth, something's gone wrong. Something has gone gravely wrong. And I'm just sharing this because that is the world that young priests are stepping into, and the weight is heavy. It's the weight of the cross. So yeah, things look desperate, and there is a lot of darkness in the world. But then again, moments of desperation and darkness are precisely when God usually works his greatest and most amazing and most unexpected miracles. Why? Well, because in those moments of difficulty, we surrender ourselves in a more radical way to God for his help, because it becomes even more clear in those moments that we cannot possibly do this without him. And just as he responded to Moses at his moment of desperation, so I believe he will respond to ours. Gather for me 70 men, and I will give them my spirit. They will help you bear the burden. And that is the foundation of my hope as I look at the state of priestly vocations today. On this Priesthood Sunday, I want to say that I believe that God is raising up a new generation of holy, manly, convicted, and zealous priests to help me and help Father Kevin and help every single one of our priests throughout the entire world in the burden, in bearing that burden of preaching and teaching the gospel, the love of God, of making the sacraments available no matter what, of offering the Holy Eucharist, of being merciful spiritual fathers to a largely fatherless generation. But let's face it, when we talk about God calling men to the priesthood, we usually think of him calling men somewhere very far away from here, very far from little St. Andrews in Roanoke, Virginia. In some forgotten corner of the diocese, sure, maybe. But here, no. And that is where you would be wrong. That is where we need to be praying. God is calling young men from our parish to become those holy, zealous priests that I just mentioned. It could be your son. It could be your grandson. It could be your nephew. It could be that guy sitting a couple of pews ahead of you. And I guess what I want to ask this weekend is, are we praying that that would be a possibility? Are you open to that option? Or, and this is natural, I think, are you kind of secretly hoping that it is somebody else's son that has to go and do that? If you ask me, every single young Catholic man should at some point in their journey of faith with the Lord, ask, Jesus, are you calling me to be your priest? Is this the way that you created me to serve you and to serve the church? Because if you want this, then I want this too. Or at least I want to want this, if this is your will. Every man owes it to himself to at least entertain and investigate that possibility. And yeah, the priesthood is a rare vocation. It's more likely that a young man is called to the absolutely beautiful and equally difficult vocation of marriage, to be a husband and a biological father, to help raise the next generation of saints as the head of the domestic church. But I'll be blunt. I think that it is a terrible shame and proof of some deep dysfunction that a call to the Catholic priesthood seems to be so rare these days. Whatever sin and dysfunction is obstructing good, holy vocations from being cultivated in our parishes, well, I think we need to pluck them out and cut them off, just as Jesus talks about in our gospel tonight. We need to pluck that stuff out of our lives and cut that stuff off so that people can hear the call. Every parish that is alive and vibrant ought to be slowly, patiently, and regularly raising up vocations to the ordained priesthood. If we are not seeing that fruit all across our diocese, then I think that something is wrong. And unless something changes, the priests that we do have will end up feeling a lot like Moses in that first reading. Lord, kill me. This is just too heavy. So, by the grace of God given me at my ordination, I challenge and exhort the young men of our parish to open their hearts and their minds to this gorgeous and demanding and purifying path of serving the Lord in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. I also invite the rest of our parishioners to boldly and fervently ask the Lord to raise up for us priestly vocations from within our parish, from within our families. And that is scary, but it's part of being the Catholic Church. Without priests, there is no Eucharist. And without the Eucharist, there is no church. I'll end with this. You can't discern a vocation on your own in isolation. You need help. And so I just want to offer the services of Father Kevin and myself. We are here to help, not to recruit you, and certainly not to force you to become a priest. That is the last thing that anybody wants. But we are here to give you tools and the opportunities that you need to figure out what the Lord is doing and to then say yes, because we need priests. And in just a moment, we'll find out most beautifully why we need priests, because we are nourished by the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord through the hands of our ordained priests.